All right. Yeah, I had to run to the door to get Lynn to stop dancing. I'm sure that the audience is way too young to remember the Palladium and Cecilia Cruz and Eddie Palmieri. And
I think that's true. I know. That's sad, though.
Tito Puente.
Oh,
oh man. And I would go down there or anywhere when Latin was really popular, dance my behind off, not understand a word.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. You don't need to understand the words.
I need to understand nothing.
You just move.
That's it.
Whether you want to or not.
That's it. That's right. It was involuntary. Lynn Slanica's in the house.
Good morning.
What you up to today?
Well, long night last night. I went to the Hudson school board meeting.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's you know, July, and they're there until nearly 10 o'clock. 6 to 10, I texted our program director after I got out because I was wondering when we came back on air after that power outage yesterday.
What in heaven's name do you talk about it? A four-hour meeting?
Well, that's, yeah, she responded by saying, oh, thank goodness our staff meetings don't last that long. And it is true. They did. I mean, to be fair, last night the 6 to 7 hour was designated as a workshop. They had a long overdue conversation about report card, the school report card that actually came out in April. It came out in advance of the budget vote and the board election. And no one even acknowledged it back then. And a couple of the members of the board get a public conversation about it. And last night was the result. No surprises there. You know, it was pretty grim. There are a lot of promises about that things are changing. There are going to be incremental changes. There's also the promise that there's data that the public is unaware of, but the school is, that indicates that there's improvement in the offing. But it's still, even the grades 3 through 8 results from last spring's ELA and math tests, they were released by the state last week. And there are still significant struggles. The kids who are in 7th and 8th grade are the ones that are most troubling, because the group of kids that took the 8th graders who sat for those exams this past spring and will be freshmen in the fall at Hudson High School, far more than half are just at basic proficiency or less. 20% in ELA do not meet the standards. And so for a kid who's only 4 years away from potential graduation, that's bad.
It's the residual effect that it's going to have.
Well, that's just it. And it's really hard to understand what is going on, to be perfectly blunt. And that was part of what happened last night during this workshop. For the first time in my memory, which goes back a ways, covering the district, I actually saw a Board of Education member get emotional and get very, very angry at the lack of answers, the lack of response, the sort of bureaucratic stonewalling that happens when this conversation takes place. So I don't know. One of the things they did last night was that they hired their school improvement coordinator. It's essentially a spot that they created to make up for the loss of an assistant superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
People recall that Jack Howe retired as of July 1st. His assistant superintendent, Maria Suttmeyer, was elevated to the position. They did not conduct a search. There was everything was done behind closed doors. She was elevated. And there was a big conversation about whether they would drop that assistant superintendent position. They didn't, but they created this coordinator of school improvement position. They advertised it. I have not seen a job description, so it's unclear what this person will be doing. But they did hire someone who does not hold the requisite certification for the job. from what I'm told by people on the search committee, They offered it to an existing employee who also did not have the certification for the job they advertised for.
Oy vey. How does this thing, how does this happen?
Well, this is it. And this is after this impassioned conversation about grades and about assessments and about how things, oh, bless you, how things are going to improve. They turn around and they do something that is, you know, they're continuing to do things the same way they've always done them. And I know from talking to people in the audience during their extended executive session at the end of the evening that, and these are both parents and employees of the district, people's patience is wearing thin.
I would say so with performance records like that. Is there funding affected in any way under the new rules when the performances?
No, not really. You know, the big point about No Child Left Behind, one of the reasons it was sold as the first time funding would be linked to academic performance. If you have a district where your kids are continually failing, then that can jeopardize your funding under Title I. The reality is something very, very different. It's something that they hold over, and when I say they, I mean both the federal and the state governments, hold that over a local district's head. But in reality, a lot of what happens with Title I and improvement status is that they see an increase in certain kinds of funding. It enables them to do a lot of things that maybe they wouldn't be able to do, things like professional development, special programs, special tutoring. So it's one of those mixed bag things. Right now, the district is in improvement status. Some of that is sort of, we're going into a new school year, so it's hard to say what the state that's now been granted this waiver, they have a little bit more control over accountability at the state level. So there's some talk about changing the different descriptions and different status designations for schools and districts. So who knows? I don't know. But the bottom line is that we have kids. That's the other thing that came out last night, I think that bears mentioning, is that between 2009, and that is the class of 2010 and the class of 2011, the percentage of kids in Hudson going off to a four-year college dropped by 10%.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're now below 15% in the graduating class that went on to four-year school in 2011-2012. So that alone, I mean, not that everybody should go to college.
No.
But there, you would think that the percentage, especially in an area like this, mm-hmm. which has a mix of people, we have an influx of people with higher education, you have artists, musicians, a more sophisticated community than many others, you would think that their children would be aspiring to go to college.
And as I said, it has the residual effect of an uneducated child or is an uneducated young man who has uneducated children.
Yeah.
And so,
right.
And
when the community feels the impact of that. I think that one of the reasons why Hudson is sort of stagnated, in some ways is because its school just cannot get out of its own way. That's a hard reality, but if you want to look at schools as the heart of a community and as the heart of and the source of economic development, the focus has to be on improving the school. And unfortunately, it's something that most people kind of dismiss, mm-hmm. except when they have to pay their tax bill.
Yeah, right.
They don't have children in the school. And that's something that does, that allows the institution to sort of operate on its own and without a lot of check. But the other thing that they discussed last night, I don't know how familiar people are with the alternative learning program that they used to have in Hudson. They've actually had it a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
high school level, 9 through 12, in some cases 8 through 12. It is a special program for kids that might have learning issues and or behavioral issues. The most recent version of that program shut down three years ago, because of lack of funding. Well, now there's a plan afoot with a grant writer to write a grant that would be a research program where the school district would run one program of AYP, and then there would be a second partnered program with, they name specifically, Columbia Opportunities and the Department of Social Services as partners. They would run the program, and the research would consist of comparing the two programs to see which worked better. So the board gave the go-ahead to do the, you know, to follow through on the first level of inquiry. That would be $1.5 million over 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, and by way of full disclosure, I need to point out to listeners that I am the chair of the board of directors of Columbia Opportunities, soon to be former, but and I can say, in my capacity as chair of that board, I've never heard a word about this plan.
Yeah, because I was getting ready to ask you if Columbia Opportunities, because we had, now I'm going to forget her name.
Cindy Andrus.
Yeah.
She's the director of Head Start.
Right. So, I certainly would like to see it. These kind of things, and you know what the problem is that people can't, it's like you said, when they get their tax bill, people can't see soft dollars.
Yeah.
So if you have a problem here, it's just like the little tiny hole in the roof of your house. Yeah. And you know, if you don't fix it now.
Well, and you know, one of the real, for me, the big issues here in town is that the tendency is to blame families and children. And it's, as parents, we all bear responsibility for our children. And we, you know, I've mm-hmm. never met a mother or a father that didn't want something better for their child than they had. It's just that people don't necessarily have the tools to make that happen and make it happen in the way that maybe somebody who's a professional would see as a way to happen. I think that because of this ongoing issue with the community, there is a lack of trust mm-hmm. between the institution and the community. And in order for anything to change, that has to change. And I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this whole conversation last night was a real window into why there are problems.
You know what it is? Sometimes things have to get really, really, really bad.
I guess. I know, but unfortunately, we're talking about kids' lives.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of funny that you would mention that, because I was just quoting a line out of the Declaration of Independence to a fellow blogger, reminding him that even the people who wrote the Declaration of Independence knew that... mankind is, how did they put it? Mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable.
Oh, that's, yeah.
and, you know, that's just us.
I guess.
As
yeah.
long as there's a big color TV and a six pack, we... I'm sorry.
No, it's true. It's true. It's there. I think there's an element of truth to that. Absolutely.
So tell me something good.
Oh, well, let's see. What something good. That's hard. No, I'm kind of overwhelmed by last night.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're probably still suffering from last night of OSHA's.
Yeah, but I mean, on the positive side, I think that, you know, yet again, it's another cycle. That's what's so great about schools. That's what's so great about education, is that, you know, you go through that bittersweet and often painful time in June when the kids are going away, and over the summer kids are transitioning to college, for instance. They're leaving mm-hmm. the community. At the same time, you have the little ones coming in, and you have things you have that change and the excitement of something new.
Yeah.
Teachers start coming in August, getting their buildings ready, or their rooms ready, and the buildings start to vibrate. It's a very exciting thing.
My goodness, summer is almost over.
Oh.
It's almost the end of July. I was just thinking about talking about that this morning.
I know. Well, that's just it. The summer is so short here for kids because I know in Hudson, this year they went up through the last week of June, and most years they do. My nieces that live out in Pennsylvania, they're lucky. They're still on the farmer's schedule. They get out the early part of June. But the summer goes very, very fast.
Very, very fast.
So, I think that's all good. And people are happy to have their jobs. And it doesn't look, for instance, in Hudson, this was something that came out last night. The Booster Club has some money. Eric Galloway's foundation gave them some money for modified sports. And so they're trying to figure out how they can make modified sports work, because apparently a lot of the districts that said they were going to cut them during budget time have now decided that they're going to bring them back. So they actually will have other kids to compete
with. Well, that is great to hear.
And I think Greenville was one of the more recent ones that made the announcement. So that's all very, very good.
You and I discussed this before. We didn't know each other last year, but I know you. Last year was the same thing. It just bothers me that the first thing on the chopping block is athletics and art.
Right.
And
it's not such a, in this case for modified, it's not a huge amount of money. It's it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $35,000-$37,000, and not that that's anything to scoff at.
No,
but still, it's not $375,000.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. So
and it teaches the children so much.
Oh yeah, a good modified program. Like I know with my kids, both of them ran modified cross country and track. And that was a great way for them to decide whether they wanted to run and participate in the sport.
I knew you had some good news.
I know. I needed to process by talking about what happened last night.
No more late night meetings before you're on the air. That's
that's probably a very good rule. And I guess that's really it.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to keep up, and I guess there are going to be more meetings coming up.
Oh, yeah, in August.
All right.
They're on their regular schedule. They're doing more of these workshops. I think the next workshop is on special education, and that will be the first meeting in August.
Yeah. I got to get a hold of those people over there at Promise.
Oh,
those
are
a nice group of people.
They are nice. I
like them.
Joni, yeah.
And children everywhere. Because I'm going to need to de-child after my grandsons go home next week.
You're going to need a vacation.
No, I just got a de-child. Since I moved up to Chatham, I think I'm on vacation all the time. I'm not worried about that. I just got to just get it out of me.
Well, that's what they say about being a grandparent, that you can give them back.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's good for you. No, I'm sure they've had a very good time.
Yeah, yes, they have. Have you ever made marshmallows in the middle of the week? Okay. That's enough of that good time stuff. You're listening to Lynn Sloniger, who is an extraordinary blogger and my boss here at WGXC, the station manager, bringing us up to date on what's going on in the school system. And I guess as the summer ends and school begins, we'll have a lot more information. Mm-hmm. And as we always say after we do one of these with Paul or with Lynn or even with Justin, if there's something that you want to know about, get in contact with us. Let us know at
via email.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best way is info@wgxc.org.
There you go. There you go.
And, maybe sometime we should encourage people to call in.
Yeah, right. Because it's I'm sure as we get closer to a D-Day, before school begins, there's questions out there. And if the crack staff here at WGXC can find out the answers, we may be able to do that.
Well, that's right. Yeah. No, we'd love to talk about schools. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
She's got a school inside of her brain, this woman. Lynn Sloniger for WGXC. Before I...